Welcome to Buffalo Bills Review. This is the show by Bills fans and for Bills fans. Each week we talk Buffalo Bills football. And tonight we have a special edition. We have an interview with popular linebacker number 56, Daryl Talley of the Buffalo Bills. Sit back and enjoy our conversation with this great linebacker, Daryl Talley. All right, everybody, welcome back to the Buffalo Bills Review. And this week we have a special edition of the show. This is pre-recorded. This show will actually air. You will be getting this on Halloween Day, actually. Or no, I believe it's November 1st, the Tuesday after the Bills beat the Patriots in New England, hopefully. My name is Greg, and I am here with Josh. Say hello, Josh.
This is Uncle Josh and the Natty.
And with Dave Drake.
Hey, everybody.
And here joining us tonight for a special show is Daryl Talley of the Buffalo Bills.
How you guys doing?
Thanks for joining us tonight, and we did an interview with Don Beebe a little while ago, and kind of want to just keep doing this, catching up with players who the fans in Buffalo had a connection with during the Super Bowl years, or any other time, if we can find some players who you don't hear a lot about maybe right now, and just catch up and see what you guys are doing. So let's get started. I tracked you down, Daryl, in Florida through the miracle of the internet. And do you want to tell us what you're doing down there in Florida now?
Yes, basically right now I own a barricade business, a traffic control device company, where I rent the product to the state and to private contractors. And I also do a radio show on Thursday and Fridays.
Oh, that's great. What's the show?
Called Mouthing Off. And the other one's called Settle the Score.
All right. What do you talk about on your show?
It's just basically an opinionated show where we voice our opinions about different things that go on in the world of sports or whatever actually is going on in the world that day. It's on Sirius Radio, and the other one's on 660 Radio here in Orlando, here in Florida.
Oh, that's great. So Sirius Radio, your Buffalo fans or people all over the country can pick that up?
I think it's on station 121.
Great.
121 or 122, I'm not sure.
Well, that's cool. Hey, I found the Century Barricades thing, and I was just curious, how did you get involved with that, Daryl?
Well, when I got done playing, I was sitting around and was looking for something to do, and my wife told me, she said, you know, I was being sort of a pain in the butt to her, and she says, one of us got to get a job and do something and leave the house. And I think that's you. So, me being pretty good with my hands, and I feel I'm pretty good with people, I took and said, okay, I found this company, and I said, I think I can do this. And I started out, and I knew nothing about it, and I've been in now 5 years.
So you just started it up from nothing? You'd never done that before?
No, I bought it from somebody else.
Okay.
That owned it pre-existing. But no, I never did anything in a traffic control device with traffic control. You know how when you're a kid, your mommy or dad, you say, go play in traffic. Well, I literally took mine serious.
That's great. So you're playing in traffic.
Yes.
Hey, Daryl, actually, one of the questions that a listener had emailed in, they wanted to know, speaking of what you're doing after football, they wondered, they had heard you say at one point that one of your greatest ambitions was to own a McDonald's franchise. So he was just wondering whatever came of that. Working with McDonald's now?
No, I'm not. Actually, that may be one of the biggest mistakes I made by not following through with the McDonald's deal. I gave up on it after I came on Time Magazine with Ronald McDonald with a frown on his face. And I went, wait a minute. I looked at everything that was going on. I looked at the prices of food here in Florida, which you take a family of four to eat, what it costs, versus what it would take a family of four to eat at McDonald's. And it was pretty relatively comparative even. The only difference is you got more if you took your family out to a restaurant. If you go out to Golden Corral, it costs you maybe $28 to eat. And if you take a family of four out to eat at McDonald's, it's going to cost you about $25. For $3 more, if you've got time, the kids can have as much as they want to drink, as much as they want to eat, as far as a dessert or whatever, and stuff like that. And then at McDonald's, you get a sandwich, a fry, and a drink. And you're done.
So
I think you got a little more value for your meal that way. And I went, well, I just didn't think it was right for me at the time, and that may have been one of the biggest mistakes I've made.
How far did you get in pursuing that?
I got all the way through the third book.
I don't know. I'm not familiar with that. What are the books?
There's like four books you have to go through when you go through the owner-operated program at McDonald's.
All right.
There's MD 1, 2, 3, and 4, I think.
Well, that's too bad. So you really did pursue that, but it didn't turn out. Well, you mentioned your show and that you talk about sports, but I also wonder just kind of the things you're doing right now. Are you involved in football still in any way?
No, I'm not involved in football. Not involved in it at all. I've actually applied to be to do an internship with an NFL team to get back into coaching because I feel that I would be very good at it. I had something to give back to the game, but just so happens I haven't been given an opportunity to do that yet. I still try it and see if anybody will give me the opportunity, but since they haven't, I just have to keep going on with life until something happens.
That's true. Hey, Florida is a big football state, so hopefully there are some good opportunities down there. Are you looking to go right into the NFL, though?
Well, I would like to go back to the NFL because I think that I would better serve myself and the league and the players in that manner. I think that I have something that I could tell some of the younger guys that they're doing, that they're not looking at, or things that they should be seeing that they don't see.
That'd be great. Just speaking as a fan, I remember that you were always kind of the heart of the defense, just always fired up and seemed like a leader, from watching the sidelines.
I tried to be that way because that's what I wanted to be.
Well, Daryl, we want to talk about your years with the Bills, especially tonight. And I noticed that you were drafted in the second round in 1983 from West Virginia. And that's a pretty good draft. Jim Kelly was drafted that year, and you were drafted then in the second round.
I'll be honest with you. I think the draft in 1983 was, as history will prove it, was perhaps the richest draft in NFL history because I think you have more guys going into Canton than any other time out of any other class. I think you've had guys that play longer years in the league than any other class that's ever come through. And this is, what, 25, 30 years later? I mean, I don't think there's going to be too many classes that come through like the class of 83. I mean, I think we were the cream of the crop.
Yeah, that's great. Why do you think that was? Just chance that so many players came out at the same time, or better college football programs?
Well, I don't know if it was by chance or what, but it just so happened to be that way.
That was great. And you actually ended up playing then for the Bills 12 seasons after that. So over 12 years, you got to see a lot of different teams. From weren't you with the 2-14 teams?
Yes, I was 2-14.
Oh boy,
4-12, and 4-12.
Oh boy.
So I went through all of the knock knock jokes that you hear in Buffalo. Everything. they go knock knock. Who's there? You say who? Win one. Win one soon. All kind of crazy stuff.
But hey, I'm sure there are people listening to this show that were fans through those years. Even through the losing years. And then, as time went on, Daryl, I was just reading Fred Smirlis's book, By a Nose, recently, and he has a whole chapter on the drop up in Cleveland. And I had forgotten that if that catch had been made for the touchdown, you guys would have gone to six straight AFC championship games.
That is correct.
88 to 93. That's amazing.
Now, nobody believed me when I told them that. And they looked at me and they went, what? I said, yeah, we should have been in six of them in a row.
Yep.
And they were like, no, it couldn't have been. And I recite the games and what they were. And they go, wow, you guys must have really been good. No, we were just young and we were really ambitious and we really wanted to win.
The consistency that the Bills had during those years, especially the Super Bowl run, do you think that had a lot to do with the fact that there wasn't a lot of free agency during that time period and the salary cap in the NFL, that you guys were able to be a tight-knit group because of that?
Well, what happened back then was there was no free agency. If you didn't take the offer the team gave you, you just didn't play in the National Football League. There was no, I'm going to sit out this year, I'm not going to play. You'd get mad and not show up at camp, and you didn't play. And if you came back and wanted to play for that team, or you wanted to play football again, you had to go back to the team that you didn't play for the year before. So, you know, free agency did a lot for him. I mean, it did a lot for the guys and myself as well. It gave you an opportunity to go out and see if you could earn, how much money you could earn. The only problem with free agency for me was it came at the end of my career. If it came at the beginning or the middle of my career, I'd be a really happy man right now.
Well, hey, you got to be happy with, I mean, what we were talking about before, too. The almost six AFC championships in a row, and it just seems like a great team. I think you mentioned just the tight-knit team that you had. And actually, I have a quote from you, Daryl, from an interview you did at BuffaloBills.com a little while ago.
Yeah.
You said, "I think the camaraderie of our team was so special because a lot of us had a lot of the same characteristics and traits."
Oh, we did.
You said we'd all at one time or another.
That is exactly true.
Yeah,
we all had a lot of the same characteristics because we were all told, if you look at us to a man, we were all told what we could do and what we couldn't do.
Yeah.
And more of us were told what we couldn't do. And we were just hell-bent on proving everybody wrong because we believed that there was nobody out there that could beat us. We'd been told we couldn't do it for so long, and we were tired of hearing it. And we just so happened to all wind up in the same spot, which was really, really ironic.
Well, it's great because it was the impetus, it seems like, for a huge, amazing run of just you guys were always in the game. You were always in the game, no matter how grim it looked on the scoreboard. It didn't matter. You guys were going to give it everything right till the end of the game. And
that was part of our makeup. We had that never-say-die attitude. We didn't care who made the play or who did it, but we knew one of us would do it. And nobody wanted to wait on somebody else to do it. We all took the bull by the horns and said, "Look, I'll be the guy to make the play. But you have to do it within the context of your offense, your defense, or your special teams."
Hey, Daryl, this is Josh in Cincinnati. During this era that we're talking about, you had the opportunity to play with some outstanding linebackers alongside yourself, you know, Shane Conlon and Cornelius Bennett, to name a few. Can you talk about playing with those guys especially and, you know, the camaraderie that you had together, I guess, on and off the field, and just what it meant to have a terrific linebacker trio?
Oh, it was unbelievable because, you know, you knew you had to constantly keep up the pace. You had to keep up with the guy in front of you or beside you because if you didn't, he was going to make you look bad, and that's the last thing you wanted to do. And the good thing about all of our linebackers is we had linebackers that could really run. Everybody talks about how much speed everybody has in linebacker now. I think our linebackers back then, we ran as fast as our defensive backs did. And the only difference was we didn't cut as well as they did now. Don't even get me to think about saying that. We could not turn as fast as our defensive backs did, but we could run straight lines with them, and we were bigger people.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the linebacking group we had was really, really unique because we all thrived off of one another. We all fed off of one another. Whatever one guy did, if one guy got upset during the game, then automatically everybody got upset because he was mad and they'd pee off one of our buddies, and, you know, on defense, and you got to stick up for that guy.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, a follow-up question to that is, you know, there's a lot of controversy back in the day, despite our success, with the K-gun offense, and that the pressure was on the defense all the time because of our no-huddle offense.
Right.
How did you see that? How did you, what was the mindset knowing that you would have to spend the majority of the time on the football field as opposed to the offense?
Well, here's the thing. If you look back at that period of time, we spent twice as much time on the field as any other defense in the National Football League. But it didn't matter to us because we had a cash register on the other side that was constantly running. And as long as you keep running up the numbers, it didn't matter how much time you had to play on the field. All you had to do was condition yourself to play at that pace. And
right.
We conditioned ourselves to play at that pace. And if you really look back at it, we took the ball away more than anybody else during that period of time.
Right.
So our offense could turn it over, and we'd give it right back to them, but it seemed like they were always on the field. They would be on the field for one play, maybe two. It's a touchdown. We're right back out there. And then sometimes we'd come up against teams, and they'd have long drives on us, and they'd think we were dead tired, and they'd figure the next series we come out, we're going to really run at them. And they really couldn't do it because, point blank, we conditioned ourselves. I learned a long time ago, fatigue makes cowards of us all. And if you don't condition yourself, then you're going to be tired. You're going to be fatigued. You're going to get beat. So if we already gave ourselves a leg up on everybody else by making sure we were in better shape than everybody else.
Did you guys all come in with that mindset, or was that something on the Bills coaching staff that they were specifically working on, the conditioning level?
No, the physical conditioning started because we had a guy that they brought in there named Rusty Jones.
Yep.
Who was our strength and conditioning coach, but he was more of a nutritionist. He taught us how to eat properly and still maintain your weight, but cut down the amount of body fat that you had for the how much you weighed, the amount of mass you had. He worked with everybody trying to get us all to eat properly and everything. Everybody makes, we gave him so much garbage about what he was making us do. But it wound up being the best thing in the world for us because it made us have a leaner body mass. Therefore, we were quicker. We were a little more alert than everybody else. And the idea is that we were not going to be outdone by the guys on the offense. We were not going to let them be able to run it. We had to stand there with our tongues hanging out.
Yeah.
So we took it upon ourselves to condition ourselves to play at their pace and better. Because if you think about it on defense, a wide receiver can run three go routes in a row. That same corner's got to stay in the game. Well, that same linebacker's got to stay in the game. He can't leave the game if he gets tired. Whereas an offensive guy can go out and take a break every other play.
So you guys really did feed off of each other. Like when the offense was doing real well, then the defense would say, hey, we got to step up and play to that level. And
yeah, and we always knew that no matter what happened, somebody was going to make a play. We didn't care if it was the first quarter or the last quarter. The game is played for 60 minutes. We believed you had to play every minute, every second of that game. Because if you didn't, you're going to have it taken out of your throat.
A game I keep thinking of as we're talking here tonight is, I don't remember the exact specifics, but I remember it was probably in the fourth quarter. You guys were playing Denver at home. You were down by some amount of points and ended up scoring 21 points in 77 seconds with some kick blocks and all kind of, you know, the crazy kick on offense. Yeah.
Two interceptions, a return for a touchdown by Carlton, and the offense did the rest.
That's right, and that's the kind of play in the 60 minutes kind of thing where you just end up winning in the end. There was actually a game earlier in the season. It was Washington and Dallas, was it? It was a Monday Night Football game where Dallas was winning the whole game, and then two quick passes, and Washington ends up winning the game in the last 2 minutes of the game or something. You guys were great at pulling out the victories in the end there, just like that. So I wanted to ask you, Daryl, if there are any favorite games you had over the, I mean, a 12-year span, there's it's kind of hard to narrow down, but if there are some games that stand out in your mind as ones that you really remember or some favorite plays from those games, favorite moments, I guess, from those games, that you want to share with the Bills fans, kind of relive?
My favorite game as a Bill was probably the playoff game against the Raiders. I think it was a wild card playoff game or a playoff game we had against the Raiders at Rich Stadium. We won 51-3.
Yeah, that was the championship game.
Because for the simple reason, we're playing during the game and the voting for the Pro Bowl came out earlier in the week, and I felt that I should have made the Pro Bowl and didn't make it, and I was beside myself. Went out and played the game. I had two interceptions, one for a touchdown, and about 16 tackles. And halfway through the game, I'm sitting on the bench, and I'm sitting next to Cornelius, and he goes, hey, man, I don't know what Nassam got into you today, but I've never seen you make plays the way you're making them right now today. He said, whatever you're doing, just keep doing it. And at that point, I said, okay, let's just go. Let's dig for something else. And that's what we just kept doing.
That was a phenomenal game. It was also very cold.
Very what?
It was also very cold. That particular day, I think it was in the minus teens, but it didn't matter. You guys were fired up. You had 16 tackles that game?
I think so.
Wow. Amazing.
Hey, girl, this is Dave Drake again. That's actually something I wanted to ask you. It's one of my, probably my biggest memory of you and playing for the Bills is a very underrated player, especially on the defensive side. And there were a lot of times, I think a lot of us in Buffalo thought that you should have made the Pro Bowl. For sure.
I mean, I think a lot of that had to do with the guys on the defense that I played with. I mean, if you think back, I played on the defense with a lot of guys that were stars and a lot of guys that were Pro Bowl players. And there was only so much to go around, but then when it came time, I mean, there was, when it came time for me to get my just due, I didn't think that I got it. And I mean, I'd done everything that I had to do. I took the backseat, I let everybody do what they had to do. That did the things that were conducive to winning football games, because that's what it's about. It's about winning football games. When it didn't happen, I used to get so mad about it, and I didn't know what to do. That's the reason why I put Rodney up over my locker, because, you know, I felt like Rodney Dangerfield.
No respect. So did that motivate you? Obviously, it motivated you in that playoff game, but over the couple of years, to keep playing harder, to work harder at your game, watching film, et cetera, make the Pro Bowl.
It always did. But I would have played that way no matter what time of day it was or where the game was played. We could have played that game in a parking lot. It wouldn't have mattered to me.
That's cool.
You know, Daryl, I was just watching. I have some video of some of the playoff games from your Super Bowl years, and I just pulled one out to watch the team again from the 90s. I think it was actually 93, your last Super Bowl season, and it was just amazing. It was electric, the crowd, because we've gone to some of the home games this year, and it's fun, and there's a lot of people cheering on the Bills, and it's great, but there was such a difference. That Raiders game, I was at that game, and it was amazing, the intensity of the excitement in the stadium. And it actually came a lot from you guys out there on the field, like you said, fired up for whatever reasons, and the team just working together, and then the crowd. That was obviously part of the fun, and maybe part of the success of the Bills, especially at home during those years.
Part of the fun came because a lot of the guys were from all over the place, and we felt accepted by the people of Buffalo, and that made you feel just that much better. And you were willing to go out and lay that little bit of extra out on the line for them, because they were there cheering for you with their shirts off, freezing at minus 20 degrees,
that's
minus
true.
15 degrees. We had to go out and play. We had to go play as hard as we could, no matter what, because you got to turn around and think about it. Here these guys are, they're going to work every day in a foundry or whatever, and then they're coming out to watch and cheer for us on Sundays, and that was just a special feeling. I mean, it was a special bond between a special team and a special city, I think.
That's cool.
Hey, Daryl, talk about that for a moment, if you will. I mean, you had some other NFL experiences. You know, you played in Atlanta and Minnesota. Talk about Buffalo. You know, we like to think that we're the best fans in the NFL. What do you think?
I have to agree. I mean, there's no greater fans than the ones in Western New York. I mean, I played in Atlanta. The fans there, in my opinion, are fair weather. The ones I played in front of in Minnesota, I really didn't get a good feel for them, but I did enjoy the people of Minnesota, and I enjoyed the way Denny Green ran his football team there. That was actually ran a lot like the way Marv ran the Buffalo Bills.
Cool.
He and Bill Polian. I just look back and I look at the way a lot of teams are ran and the way cities embrace their football team, and it's really strange. I only see that happening in a couple places, and you see it happening in you've seen it happen yourselves in front of you in New England.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That city has embraced that football team, and that football team's found more ways to win football games than any other team, I think, in NFL history, and it's including us.
You guys definitely had something special, and with the string of wins and just the team attitude and the camaraderie you talked about, I think it definitely it was something that the Bills fans, the Buffalo people, people in Buffalo could kind of grab onto and get excited together with that. And I'm sure that same things happen out there in New England, and there will be New England fans, Patriot fans to come, even through the lean years like the Bills have had the last couple of years. It's just it's something that brings people together, and it was a great thing that you guys had during those years.
Well, I know. I totally appreciate it, and now I get a chance to sit back and look at some of the things we did. Some of the things we did were truly incredible, but, you know, only incredible things happen for incredible people. And we had 54 guys in the coaching staff who were very incredible.
Daryl, I want to talk about some of the other players who were on your team. We already mentioned kind of that you were always considered kind of an underrated guy because you were passed over on the Pro Bowl selection, and you know, people would talk about guys like Cornelius Bennett and Bruce Smith and even Shane Conlon even, and some of the other guys. And in Buffalo, you were definitely a fan favorite, but a lot of other players got more of the spotlight maybe than you did. What was it like to play with so many of those future Hall of Famers? Like, Jim's already in, and Marv Levy's in the Hall of Fame, and you were nominated.
Yeah, no, I need to get them all to write me a letter to get me in.
You were nominated, right?
it was a tremendous feat. I mean, it was a tremendous pleasure to play with those guys. I mean, because they loved the game. They loved to play the game for what it was. It was a game played by men, and we played it as hard as we could play it.
Yep.
And some guys were better than others at it.
Hey, Daryl, for what it's worth, man, if I was a voting member, you and Bruce would be on the top of my list.
Well, thank you. Next
people. But talk about that for a moment, if you will, please. Who are some other players from that era you think we'll see in the Hall of Fame before it's all said and done?
Daryl Talley.
Everybody already knows Jim Zinn. You're going to see Thurman there eventually. You're going to see Andre. I think you're going to all see Bruce there. I'd like to think Ken Hall will get there.
Yeah.
I think Ken Hall has a chance to get in. I think Steve Tasker does, because he's been the best special teams player to play the game since Bob Brown, who played for the Minnesota Vikings. A lot of people may not remember that guy. He wore number 30. He was one of the truly, truly first special teamers that really played the game hard and the way it should be played. And to be honest with you, I think I have numbers enough to get myself in, but my only problem is, playing on a team I did, I didn't get enough Pro Bowl votes to get in.
It's amazing.
And that's it. And I mean, it's a shame, because linebacking is more than just making sacks. Mm-hmm. And that's what the linebackers were rated on back then.
Yeah, Daryl, I saw, though, that you were nominated for the Hall of Fame in 2001. Is that right?
Yes.
Cool. Did that happen again?
I've been nominated every year that I was eligible except for one. And I don't know what you got to do to get in, but hello, folks. I do think I deserve to be in.
Here you go.
And I've never been a self-promoter, but that's one thing I will say that I think I deserve.
Well, that would be great. We'd definitely be rooting for you. Speaking of stats, though, Daryl, I found a few from your career. And actually, in 1991, you had 5 interceptions at linebacker there. Isn't that pretty good for a linebacker?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's exceptional. I mean, not most linebackers can do that. But then again, not most linebackers played the position the way I played it.
And did you make the Pro Bowl Pro Bowl in 1991 or
1990, 91.
And did you make it any other years after that?
Seven other years I wound up as the first alternate.
Great. I couldn't remember. But the other stat that I did find was in 1983, your rookie year, you actually had 2 kick returns?
Yep.
Great. Were you actually on the kick return team?
Yeah, I played every special team up until looks like a lot of guys you have nowadays don't want to play special teams.
Yeah.
They think they're too good to play them.
Yeah.
Well, when we played the game, everybody had to play all the special teams. I played every special team up until my 11th year in the league.
Wow.
And then I didn't play everyone.
I forgot that.
I only played on punt and kickoff return. I was a backup on it, but that was it. But I always played punting.
You were talking
every year my league, every year I was in the National Football League, I played on the punt.
That's great. You were talking about how fast you were, and I guess that's why they put you back there. Not too many linebackers are returning kicks these days.
No, I didn't return the kick. I was in the wedge.
I got you.
The ball was kicked short. I picked it up and ran. It wasn't like I was back there deep running the ball over the field. Let's not get any misconceptions now.
Well, and that's kind of a crazy position back there. You got 11 guys running at you full speed. That's always kind of.
And I was back there as a member of the wedge. That's all.
All right.
It wasn't like I was back there deep to return the kick. Now wait a minute. Now there's no way in the world I would do that.
I thought that was kind of funny stat. Well, that's great. You are. We've been talking about the Hall of Fame, and I do hope you make it there someday, Daryl, along with a lot of your teammates. But you are on the Wall of Fame at Rich Stadium, or whatever it is now, Ralph Wilson.
Yes, the Wall of Fame. I think I'm the 19th member to go up.
Yeah, actually, and
20th, excuse me.
You are there ahead of many of the members of your team there in the 90s. So that's a pretty cool honor. When did that happen?
It actually happened 3 years ago.
Great.
2 years ago.
So that's pretty cool.
Hey, Daryl, I just got a comment for you, and I guess it'll lead into a question. I think one of the reasons that you were one of the most loved defensive players in Buffalo was because you were part of those teams that just completely sucked during the 1980s. And then, you had all those glory years right after that. And so we saw your heart, that you weren't a guy that was just going to, go away, but you were going to, go through all the losing years and then, you know, enjoy the glory years. So talk about that. Talk about the differences between, you know, those four years that were really bad, and, you know, to follow that up with four straight Super Bowls. I mean, that was just incredible.
Part of that has to do with your upbringing, the way that you're brought up in the type of town you're brought up in. I grew up in Cleveland, which is a blue-collar town, which is a lot like Buffalo.
Yeah.
It's sort of a meat and potatoes town. I mean, you go to work, you get a paycheck, give a guy a fair day's work for a fair day's pay. And I couldn't see going out on the football field not performing or not playing. After going out, playing hard, and getting beat like we were getting beat in the early years, it just didn't stick too well with me. I mean, I had a friend of mine that I played against in Miami, that was in Miami, and I played against him at Pitt, named Dan Marino, and he beat me all the time in college, and I just made up my mind that I was not going to allow that to happen any longer. So I just decided we got to start doing something to beat him. If I can beat him, then I can beat anybody else in this league. And that was the mindset I had, and I sort of gave everybody else, or ingrained everybody else, with that same type of thought that we got to win no matter what. We can beat anybody that we play.
And that's great.
That was very evident through one of the winningest teams in the 90s there. Daryl, were you on the team? Were you on the Bills when the Bills lost for 20 straight games or something like that to the Dolphins? Were you on the team?
Yeah.
Were you on the team when
I was on the first team to beat the Dolphins, and it wasn't Joe Robbie. It was what's it called?
Yeah.
It's where the Hurricanes play their home games.
Orange Bowl?
Yeah.
In the Orange Bowl. It was like 20, it had been 20 years since the Bills had beaten them down there. They had never done it before.
Yeah.
And I made the sack to send the game in overtime against Danny.
Woo-hoo. That's
and
awesome.
We eventually wound up winning the football game with Joe Dinello kicking a field goal of about 35 yards.
Daryl, we got to talk about the Super Bowl real quick. Actually, a listener had asked me to ask you this question. When we talked to Don Beebe, you know, Don got to go to 6 Super Bowls.
That's, yeah, but he got to win one.
He did, and he talked about that. He said the years with the Bills, that team was so much more tight-knit. The relationships were great. The players were amazing, the talent level. But what he noticed was different was in the Super Bowl where the Packers won, they got down, I think it was 10 points or something like that at one point. And with the Bills teams, it seemed like somehow the emotional level was so high that when you got down, it would just plummet the other way, and everybody would kind of get overwhelmingly out of the game emotional wise. And then on the Packers team, he said there were veteran players there who had, including himself, who had seen that happen, and they were not going to let that happen, and they kind of helped to balance the emotional from the big high to the big low. They kind of balanced it out, and they end up winning the game. What are your thoughts on that? Did you sense that same kind of thing?
I have to disagree with him there. Because I couldn't see that, because we had a football team that wouldn't quit. So I can't see how we couldn't balance it as far as being down in the game and not being able to come back and thinking you could win. As you alluded to earlier, there was a football game that we were in that we didn't come back and win, or we thought we could win. So, you know, I have to disagree with Beebs there.
Yeah, I think.
But maybe they had something different that we didn't have. They had to. They won one, or they played against a different caliber team.
Yeah, I think what he was saying was it's the same kind of a moment in the game where the other team went up by a touchdown or 10 points or something like that. And I think he was remembering the fourth Super Bowl where you guys were leading most of the first half, and then Thurman fumbled in the second half, in the third quarter somewhere. And he said the emotional level on the sideline went from super high to super low. And just he could tell there was a difference between that team and the Packers team that ended up winning the Super Bowl.
Maybe he could, because I couldn't, because I was always the one that said, you know what, it didn't matter.
Right.
There's still 60 minutes in a game. You got to play every minute, every second of the game. So I don't know. I wasn't there for that. I wasn't on the sideline to see that, but I never sat down to listen to it.
Yeah. Actually, he did mention that. He said when the clock was ticking down as he was winning that Super Bowl, and he was out there, I think, on the field, and he was just looking at the clock, and it was kind of a bittersweet moment because he was totally excited to win the Super Bowl, but all he could think about was you guys, his teammates in Buffalo and Marv and everybody, and just how he really wished you guys could be there for that moment, how it should have been you guys. And I agree.
Well, I agree with him, but, you know, like they say, woulda, coulda, shoulda.
Yep.
Hey, four Super Bowls is definitely something to be proud of. Do you think that's a feat that we will ever see repeated?
I don't think the feat will be repeated, not here in the near future, no. I think the only team that has a chance of doing it is New England, because they've proven to be able to win in all different situations. And even they took a year off, the 1 year off, yep. They would have done it. But I don't know. It's going to be interesting. New England's got a chance to do that this year. Right now, there's so much parity in the league, whereas it's just a matter of somebody knowing who to put where. Because right now, the talent level is so even.
Daryl, how closely do you follow these current Buffalo Bills? Do you keep up with this team this year?
Yes.
What are your thoughts on the Bills this year with Holcomb and McGahee and the offense that really is having a hard time?
Well, right now I think they've played exceptionally well on defense for the past couple of years, to be honest with
yeah.
you. Right now I think they're just having some difficulties figuring out what's actually going to transpire in the offense, whether Kelly's going to be the guy, Kelly Holcomb's going to be their guy, or what? You know, they've got to figure out who's going to be their leader on offense. And once they figure that out, then I think they'll be pretty good, because I'd like the receiving core they've got. I like the running backs they have. You know, my only thing is they got to figure out who's their leader and bond together.
We are hoping they do that sometime soon. They had a rough game this last Sunday out in Oakland. And then they got a hard one coming up against the Patriots here. Which this show will actually air after that. You got any predictions on that game, Daryl? How the Bills might do this weekend in Foxborough?
Well, that's going to be interesting, because you get Teddy Bruschi coming back, who's a linebacker who really thinks the game through, plays the game with his heart, and he lays it all on the line. So, and he's coming back to that team that needs a big lift right now, and he could do that for them. But the only thing I think that the Bills can do is just keep him backpedaling. As long as they keep him backpedaling, he can't come forward.
Daryl, in your 12, no, you played 14 years, right? Because you played two more years with other teams.
Yes.
Did you miss any games because of injury?
I missed a game my last year in Minnesota.
Wow. So you didn't miss a game for the first 13.
I got hurt in the preseason game. I wanted to play the opening day, but Denny Green told me no, he'd much rather keep me out of the game so that I would be healthy or be sound to play the rest of the year.
Yeah.
I told him it didn't matter. I was ready to play, and I wanted to play. And I said, look, I haven't missed a game since I was a senior in high school. After missing the first 7 games, I hadn't missed a game.
Wow, that's Iron Man. That's great. That's amazing. A couple other questions. Just so you're living down in Florida. We mentioned that at the top. And are you married? Do you have kids?
Yes, I'm married with 2 daughters. One's 12 and the other one's 18.
That's great. 18. So is she graduating probably this year from high school?
My oldest graduated from high school. She's going to University of Central Florida.
Oh, great.
My youngest goes to school at Lake Highland Prep in Orlando here. And, you know, they appear to be 2 happy kids.
All right. That's great. They're probably not playing football.
No, they're not playing football. They probably wish they could.
Great. We asked Don Beebe about one of his sons is playing football. He said he's great. And I asked Don if he can beat him in a foot race yet. And not yet. Don's still pretty fast,
well,
I guess.
I'll tell you what, that kid's going to have to run pretty quick because Beebs can run.
Yeah. All right. And one other question about your Bills team. Just who... What players on the team were you closest with? I know you guys were all kind of a close unit, but who did you hang out with during your years with the Bills, and do you still keep in contact with
them? My roommate on the road, and he lived down the hill from me, was Bruce Smith. And, you know, after we moved around and everybody got situated in the city of Buffalo, Jim lived behind me, Shane lived up the street, along with Ray Bentley. So,
oh, that's great.
We're really a pretty tight-knit group. We all ran around together, so it didn't really matter.
Hey, Ray Bentley, I was going to – you mentioned that you like Halloween and you like to dress up for Halloween. You had some guys who did that on your team. Ray Bentley was a pretty scary-looking guy sometimes.
Well, Ray Bentley is who I called Alice Cooper.
Yeah.
And then you had Mitch Farratt, who did the same thing.
Yeah.
And I called him Hawk because he was like one of the wrestlers from the WWF.
That's right. Wasn't he? Didn't he play – wasn't he in the WWF? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. You had some cool – characters on this. Speaking of characters, Daryl, what was the Spider-Man story? That was one last question I had to ask.
Well, I like Spider-Man. I've always liked Spider-Man because he always seems to be somebody that arrives just in the nick of time to help somebody out when they're in trouble. And that's what I like to consider myself as. When I was on the football field, I was always there to help my teammates out, to do whatever I had to do to get the job done. And that's what I did. And I don't know, just always liked it.
That's great. Well, I got two little boys who are Spider-Man fans, and I think they're going to be Daryl Talley fans now after this interview, and we'll watch some old games and they can see some plays. It's been quite a while since you played, but you are still a favorite in the hearts of Buffalo fans everywhere. And so, hey, we really thank you for coming on the show and for taking some time to share some stories with us and where you're at now and just reliving some of the moments with the Bills. We do hope you make the Hall of Fame and hopefully soon. We'll try and get some votes in there for you, right, Uncle Josh?
All right.
We'll do our thing. Hey, Daryl, it was an honor, man. Thank you for your years of hard work in Buffalo. You are a hero. Man, come back and run for mayor. We would love to have you back in Buffalo.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate
yeah,
that.
Yeah, no, we just want to thank you, man. We appreciate it. And good luck on getting back in the NFL.
All right. Thank you.